What happens as I'm describing this sense of self? Just maybe a few words. Is some of it resonating with you? Yeah, Saul, and then Nana.
Normally where you get like a little link to sign up for the...
You think this should be the speech that I give when I invite people on the
way? The next part is like 20 grand. Definitely.
No, you already paid. You're getting all this. You already paid. This is what we're gonna do for the rest of the year.
It sounds great. I think I know some of that. Like, also what comes up is just like this when you're saying the sort of, what are you saying? The very somethings of who you are.
Yeah, you're made out of it.
There's a bit of skepticism that also comes up.
Like, of course.
I don't feel skeptical. I know what you're saying is true because I feel it. It's not absolute. And we're just like, I get that when we strip away all the packaging and the issues and ideas and concepts and all that, what are you left with?
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's still something there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when I say when we strip away all these things, I think it's important to say you don't get rid of it. Like all the baggages and the burdens, they're still with you, but there's something profound about recognizing who you are, really, beyond all these things. That doesn't mean that, oh, now all these things are just gone, but there's a huge change between feeling that all of these things are you and you have to work with them from there, and then recognizing, no, actually, I might have gotten a lot of baggage on me or a lot of burdens on me, but the me that's carrying all of that, or the me that's been, that gets all of these burdens on it, that is something profoundly different from what most people would take themselves to be.
Yeah, and so like experience is this. Yeah, that's experience. Who you are, there is no, like, that's what you're saying, right? Like the whole concept of who's like just being stripped away. What you're saying, I think what I'm taking it as is like experiences like this.
Yeah.
But the idea that are very molecules, did you say molecules? Or
I say you're made out of particles or atoms of joy and so on.
I've always had a bit of a problem with that, like I'm just radiant light and all of this. I'm like, I just like, I don't know, maybe I'm just clinging to something that I...
Yeah.
But also, there's probably bits that also tie very much into the idea of something else. Healthy, related to some of what Rachel was saying. There's something about, you know, boundaries and all of that. So I'm just saying that's what comes up. Some resistance.
Excellent.
Challenge.
And it's good. I mean, as I said before, right, I really highly invite you to be skeptic and not just jump at the first and the best nice experience and say, yes, this is me being made of particles of joy and I feel it and all that, because it's a profound experience and it would be a pity to... miss it because you are too quick in taking an experience and declaring this is it. So yeah, so good. So Nana and then Alex and then Ursula.
Yeah, when you spoke, I had that really strong sensation of there is a step on the hero's journey called freedom to live, which is really, yeah, that feeling of there is a playfulness and you can choose a new experience, but it comes from this different place, like a dance.
Yes.
I really was touched by this sentita de vida, because Joseph Campbell also talks a lot about this he says he doesn't think people search for the meaning of life as much as the experience of being alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the essence work is to the point. I mean, experiencing assets of life, whatever that is, without connecting to it. But then here comes the question, because as you spoke your way through, I would sort of get an experience of yellow, an experience of pearl, an experience of stupor. And I was like, so are these, I'll try to phrase the question right. Are all of this really just facets of the not self or the experience? Do you understand? I mean,
this is you. This is it, right? It's like I said before, at one point on our journey, we experience ourselves as someone who experiences the yellow,
exactly,
who experiences the red and so on. And at some point we say, well, actually, I think I got this thing mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And you start feeling like, no, actually, what I feel when I feel the essences, that's me. It's not like there's a me that experienced the essences. The essences, that's me. And this is where it flips. And then you experience yourself as the totality of the essences. And sometimes you experience personality, right? That sometimes that's what you're in, but you don't get confused and start identifying with that personality.
So would you then say that it all, because from the beginning I had more the feeling of wholeness, you know, that everything is in me. That was,
yes,
I think that expansion, that's my feeling here.
Yeah.
So would you then say that it is, that all the universe abides in me, or all the sensations and all the experiences, is that the, because I'm asking, because stupor feeling is a little bit more solid. Does that make sense?
Like many of the essences feel different, right? Yeah, okay, so you're trying to differentiate the feeling of the stupor and the feeling of the point.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So, do we really want to do that? I think, yes, just include all of these things, right? Stupa is one way of experiencing the totality of essences. And that's one of the things we're going to work with next year. I think for now, the importance is not so much, does it feel like this? Does it feel like that? The importance is more, what do I identify with? Do I see it as something I have an experience of, or do I see it as me? Right? That's the shift that we really want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks. So Alex, and then Ursula. And then
sorry, I have a mini question first.
Yes.
What was that term that you just used?
Stupa.
Stupa.
Yeah.
What is?
Stupa is a concept from the Diamond Logos and Diamond approach. It's one way of experiencing the totality of all essences. And the reason we work with that on the fourth year is you will remember how many issues it brings up to work with one essence, right? So you will probably be happy that we didn't throw all the essences at you in the first year, because that would have brought up all the issues simultaneously.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
So, but it's interesting to start feeling more like the wholeness. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. but have trouble taking your word for some other things.
Yes.
So when we first talked about how my sense of self changed, I was feeling actually pretty good about the experience and the change in 2.5 years. Now I'm hearing you talk about this and I'm like, I have not a clue.
Good.
What the...
Good.
First of all.
Yeah.
And then what comes up for me is this strong sense of objection, because when I hear you say you are joy, why am I any more joy than I am sorrow? Why aren't there any items in your list that are actually not that pleasant? How is I am that, but I'm not this?
Yes. I choose to use the positive words rather than the negative ones, because it... when you have cleaned these essences of your prejudice, you tend to give them positive words. Like, for example, we could say you are sorrow, right? But when you work with sorrow, when you get to the essence of sorrow, most people don't want to call it sorrow anymore. They want to call it tenderness. They want to call it green essence. So you're also sorrow, but it's just like if I say you are sorrow, I'm like out here, right? Talking about it in a language that is imbued with a lot of the prejudices around it.
Okay, but my point is, I think that there are, objectively speaking, whatever you call it, there are experiences that are not these.
Yes, of course. Like, so you say, do you sometime have a bad day where you feel suffering of different sorts? Of course you do. And this is what I say also when I say your burdens, just because you recognize who you are, that doesn't mean your burdens go away. It doesn't mean that your suffering goes away. It doesn't mean that the pattern that produced suffering goes away. It just means that you are, that you know you are not that suffering. You experience that suffering, but it isn't
you. I'm not talking about suffering. I'm talking about, say, pain.
Yeah.
Like just pain, right? Like not the suffering of a personality experiencing something and getting caught in things, but rather just
pain.
Like why is that not part of this amazing self?
Like, give me an example of the pain you're talking about, just so I know we're on the same page.
I mean, it's just like more of a physical sensation of like tearing inside, right? Like an experience of...
But no organs are actually torn. No. We're not talking about physical things.
No, yeah, we're talking about experience. So why are positive experiences the true self and painful experiences not? I guess I'm still not...
We are talking about... Fair. Who you are when you subtract all the conditioned responses to the environment. When you subtract all the conditioned responses to the environment, you're not feeling torn, right? Feeling torn is part of the can be in itself a conditioned response to the environment. Or it can be that you have different responses to the environment that's working against each other. And that produces that sensation.
I'm clearly not explaining myself very well because...
Okay.
No, I just... Like, I have some kind of objection to putting some kind of self is the like true self or these particular things.
I'm not giving you an exhaustive list. All I'm doing, like I said in the beginning, I'm giving you descriptions of how people often experience this. Many people, when they experience this, will, for example, say, it feels like I'm just made out of joy. Often people will say that. Some people will say it seems they are made out of peace. I have never encountered anybody who said, when I subtract all my conditioned responses to the environment, it feels that I'm made out of inner pain. That's just never happened. I also have a hard time imagining that it would. I don't see the underlying mechanism that would lead to such an experience. Because
I guess I don't quite comprehend this sort of like I am something rather than anything as an unfolding experience.
Like, okay, before you said that your sense of self had become looser, right? So that there was something much more fluid about your sense of self. So you can say sometimes you experience something, sometimes you experience something else, and often when you talk about like what would be a thing that you would identify with before, but you're not identifying with it now?
Silence, for example.
Sadness. Okay, yeah, I was also a little bit surprised. Good, sadness. Yeah, and you felt that sadness is me, right?
Yeah.
And now you say, well, no, actually it isn't. I experience sadness, but it's not me. Is that correct? Yeah. So when you recognize that the sadness is something you experience, what is the you that's experiencing the sadness?
That feels a lot emptier. Good. Like the thing that is experiencing just feels like space and emptiness more than anything of the
wonderful
things I heard you describe.
Wonderful. Good. Just go with that. Right? It's like, so I'm saying what people often feel. Sometimes people feel like, actually, if I subtract all the responses to the environment, there's just nothing there. There's just this vast empty space.
That I can relate to a lot more than it's joy and...
Wonderful. Just go with that for now then. Right? We want to know what do you feel like when you subtract the conditioned responses to the environment. We don't want you to try and conform to any particular list of experiences that other people have had. So now I wouldn't, like, but on the other hand, if at some point you then get the experience that when I subtract all the conditioned responses to the environment, hang on a sec, it feels like I'm made out of joy. You've heard that that is a possibility. And you won't reject the experience and say, no, it should be emptiness, because that's what it was the last 50 times. Right? But for now, it just feels like a lot emptier. Wonderful. Just go with that.
Okay, that I can do.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
So Ursula and Trisha, and then I think we need to get to the inquiry. Yes.
Okay. I think partly or mentally I understand what you are saying, mm-hmm. but on the other hand, there's something in me that says, what? So it's like I've invested over 20 years to disidentify with feelings inside me. And it feels like already a trodden path to do that.
Uh-huh.
And then now to change, somehow it's...
What's the change?
It feels a little bit like, again, identifying. I think you didn't mean that, but yeah.
Yeah. So when I say don't take your first, the best of your favorite experiences and saying this is what Klaus is talking about, that's to caution against doing what you're talking about there, right? You don't want to take just something and go like, I like this, so now I say that that's me. Right? No, you keep doing what you're doing, right? Picking out things. What I'm inviting you to do here is to say, maybe when you do that, a sense of self will emerge, and it might be more than you expect. Because as we're also going to talk more about, there's like, there's the personality, and we disidentify from that, right? It's like we recognize that's not us. Then there's what in the diamond work they call the absolute, right? The emptiness, the nothing there. Not a sense of self either. And if you go to Buddhist teachers, they're gonna tell you there is no self, forget about it. There's no self, right? Why do they do it? Because they don't want people to fall in the trap of taking something they like and then making it into themselves. So they say there's none of that. However, there's a very nice lecture series on the teachings of Nagarjuna with one of these guys who's worked a ton. Like, he's an academic, and he's worked with a lot of these Buddhist teachers, and he's translated a ton for them and these kind of things. And I have it, if you go to my webpage and go under literature, there's a link to the full lecture series. It's on YouTube, and I can highly recommend it.
What's it called?
It's just a talk on Nagarjuna. It's Guy, I forget his last name. His first name is Guy. But it's very nice. But he says something very interesting. He says, if you catch one of these Buddhist teachers on a good day and you say, is it really true that there is no self? They will tell you, well, actually there is, but that's not going in the books, right? Because that's going to mess up people if you tell them that. So it's more like a teaching tool. Now, and this is also why I put, they might say that it's reckless of me to put it already on the third year, right? But nevertheless, I don't put it before. I don't talk about this before. But there is something about when you disidentify from the personality structure, and you get familiar with this, with the realm of the essence, a sense of self can emerge from that, and it feels radically different from the sense of self that you would normally have. But usually you wouldn't tell people that, because then they go hunting for things, for nice things that they can identify with. That's not what we want to do. So does that make sense? Yeah, good. Thanks. So last one, Tricia.
Actually, I didn't really know what I want to say now, Klaus.
Okay.
I'm feeling very muddled. The first part of today, I felt actually pretty down about it all.
Yes.
What have I learned? And it feels, I mean, obviously in various territories, it feels like the last couple of years I've kind of dismantled who I thought I was.
Yes.
And I just think about what you're saying about how you language these things to yourself, because, you know, a lot of what you're saying about maybe what I am experiencing, I think you would verbalize very differently, perhaps, from how I am verbalizing it to myself.
That would not surprise me.
Kind of the word dismantled already feels pretty dire. For me.
Well, actually, so, that I would say is very accurate. Well, you dismantle what you took to be you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's actually very accurate. That's also how I think about it. It's like people come here and then we start picking apart what they think they are.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and then there isn't seemingly a kind of huge amount to grab hold of instead.
No.
Right?
No.
So, you know, you could say, okay, so it feels a lot emptier.
Yes.
Or it feels, I mean, you know, when Alex was saying fluid, and, you know, that all sounds quite nice. But, you know, for me, the words that I come up with, the way that I'm describing it to myself is more kind of chaotic and alarming in a way than it is fluid or expansive or, you know, any of those things one might aspire to.
Yes.
in a way, you know, I've kind of just said to myself, well, just wait and see.
Good.
But it's not very pleasant.
No, it isn't.
It feels precarious.
Yes.
It feels sometimes quite dangerous for myself and for my close family. But on the other hand, when you talk about what you've just been saying about essences, and I absolutely definitely have had, for example, the feeling that I am yellow.
Yes.
Or I am gold.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I haven't really known what to do with that conjunction. So
I think it's very common, like, okay, let's do a survey. How many here have at one point in the journey felt a little bit alarmed when some of their patterns were dissolved or dismantled? Right, yeah. I think it's hard to go through this process without that. Because imagine, like, what is it that we are dismantling, right? It's your conditioned responses to the environment. Another word for that is your tools, right? These are all your tools that you use to engage and navigate in life. And we're just taking them one by one and say, yeah, this one doesn't work. And this one is like, see, it produces the opposite of what you thought. And all of a sudden, you will at some point have these experiences like, how do I even navigate in life? Right? It feels precarious because even though your tools are generally the tools we develop are problematic, to say the least, they still, at some point, we developed them. When we developed them, they worked and they kept us safe. And if we take those tools and dismantle them or set them aside, we fear that now we don't have any possibility of dealing with the dangers. Now, what we will learn is that as you recognize essence and connect with essence more and more and feel essence more and more, it gives you a different way of navigating life. And one that is much stronger, much better, much more attuned to the situation, much more flexible, and much more capable of dealing with new situations that you never experienced before. That's another thing about the tools you developed. They're developed to deal with things you've already experienced. They're very ill-equipped, often, to deal with things you haven't experienced before. Whereas the essences give you a different kind of readiness. But it is a bit of a leap of faith. Yeah. How is it to hear this?
Well, it's funny you should say that because I've been, you know, walking about the park thinking, you know, the sort of living daylight is the thing that, one of the things in Diamond Approach, you know, that to just trust, really, to have faith, to give in or surrender or something. Yes. But, you know, in a way, those feel like the options. You know, the kind of drive doesn't seem very useful.
No. I think it's
the way, it just seems to me relinquishing
yes.
is the only option.
Yes. It is. And then paying attention to what happens when you do it.
When you relinquish.
Yes. So relinquish a little bit and see, like, you know, did my world fall apart? No, it didn't. Okay. Were there positive effects? Yes. When I relinquished this, I felt a little bit of essence. That was actually nice. And then take it like that, step by step. Very important. Rather than just going like, Klaus says it, I'm going all in. No, your parts have to adjust and gain that trust through experience, not just through like conviction or belief, right?
Mm.
Yeah. And I think what you're saying, yes, it can feel dangerous and chaotic, but it's also this work that brought you to places where you sometimes feel I am yellow, I am gold, which is really awesome, right? So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Good. Thank you. Let's do a short inquiry. I'm gonna venture doing another three because we are nine. So the inquiries are gonna be a little bit shorter. Let's